Dear Cheap Astronomy, what is the Parker Probe learning about the Sun? The Sun is 99.9% of the entire mass of the solar system, weighing in at 1.9 times 10 to the 30th kilograms, and if you think you can comprehend how much that is, you're kidding yourself. Let's just say it's freakingly hugely massive. Although on a universal scale, it is a fairly unremarkable G-type star, positioned towards the lower end of the Obafchikum range of stellar classes. Still, if you are an evolved, cognitively capable being listening to this podcast, it's likely your species arose from a similar stellar system. OBAF stars probably explode too quickly to nurture life, and while those dim K&M dwarfs may have lifetimes that are much longer than our star, they can only warm planets that are within a distance equivalent to the orbit of Mercury, meaning those planets will be mostly tidally locked and sit within close proximity of this star's stellar flare outbursts. So their capacity to support and sustain robust ecosystems also looks to be fairly low, based on our understanding of how life evolved on the one single planet that we know life evolved on. In 2021, our latest solar mission, the Parker Solar Probe, will pass within about 11 million kilometres of the Sun's surface at each perihelion of its 8th and 9th solar orbits. 11 million kilometres is actually pretty close when you consider Mercury's orbit is 50 million kilometres from the Sun. The Parker Probe is scheduled to do at least 26 solar orbits, and during its 22nd to 26th orbits, it will come within 7 million kilometres of the Sun's surface. It's currently unclear what the plan is after the Parker's 26th orbit, but presumably it will just be more of the same if it can remain fully operational after such close solar encounters, and if it still has enough fuel. One of the key objectives of the Parker Solar Probe is to answer the long-standing puzzle of why the solar corona, the Sun's outer atmosphere of hot, tenuous plasma that becomes visible during a solar eclipse, is actually hotter than the surface of the Sun. Now, that may sound like a trivial academic pursuit, but consider that we have billions of dollars of hardware in Earth orbit, as well as human beings on board the International Space Station. A big solar flare, directed right at Earth, could fry the electronics of that $1 billion of hardware and put our astronauts' lives at risk. From our current understanding of how the Sun works, such a big solar flare is an inevitable but also completely unpredictable event. So, by better understanding how the Sun works, we are aiming to protect $1 billion investments as well as people. So, while flying to Mars may sound way sexier, it is a very high-risk endeavour with uncertain returns beyond being able to say that we did it and brought back a few rocks. It's way easier to justify the modest funding needed for solar research, which is largely achieved by robotic spacecraft. Anyhow, here's a few things we've learnt so far. At Earth, the solar wind streams past us in a seemingly steady radial flow. But from the Parker Probe's vantage point, we now know the environment of the solar corona is extremely dynamic. The Sun's rotation and its chaotic magnetic field lines work to throw out charged plasma particles against the Sun's gravity. It's these particles that initially form the corona, and then, as the particles spread out further, the more diffuse solar wind. What we realise now is that that particle outflow spirals outwards in the direction of the Sun's rotation, moving as much sideways as it does outwards, and within that region there is considerable magnetic turbulence, including what are called switchbacks, where an outwardly directed magnetic field line momentarily flicks back on itself before continuing outward. Those magnetic switchbacks flick out dense bursts of hot plasma, which add to the general energetic chaos of the solar corona. The court is still out, but this does give some weight to the growing suspicion that it's all that turbulence, chaos, and hence kinetic energy in the corona that explains why it's hotter than the sun's surface. Apart from all that, Parker has discovered evidence of a cosmic dust-free zone extending nearly 6 million kilometres out from the sun, because any cosmic dust particles that get closer get vaporised. This finding is not such a surprise, or a finding that just confirms what we might have assumed anyway, but in science, one should never assume. We always need the data to confirm.